Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
News Radio 840 WHAS welcomes you to Jim Strader Outdoors, the area's leading authority on hunting and fishing. Jim Strader Outdoors is brought to you by Mossy Oak Properties Hart Realty. For the outdoor home of your dreams, call Paul Thomas at 270-524-1980. Linden Animal Clinic, your pet's best friend. Sportsman's Taxidermy. Visit them at sportsmanstaxidermy.com. A.N. Roth Heating and Cooling, a family-owned business with over 100 years experience in the Louisville area. Wildlife Habitat Solutions. Check Jim and his team on Facebook at Wildlife Habitat Solutions and SMI Marine. Getting your boat back on the water in no time. To join in on the conversation, call us at 571-8484 inside Louisville and 1-800-444-8484 outside the metro. Now, sit back and relax and enjoy the next 2 hours of Jim Strader Outdoors on News Radio 840 WHAS.
We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the Western Skies. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Welcome to Jim Strader Outdoors, folks. It is August the 1st, which of course means we are in the dead middle of summer, heading into the late summer period, what many people refer to as the dog days of summer. And although it's hot and humid, or has been, I should say, next couple of days promise to be pretty nice. Today wasn't bad at all. A little breeze and a north wind is always a welcome respite from that really hot, muggy weather that we had last week. We were in the 90s almost every day. And I will tell you, though, the fishing is just as hot as the weather. I had a fabulous week fishing with some buddies of mine. I fished with Chick Andrus. We fished for bluegill and had a really, really nice catch of big males that were still around spawning areas. And then turned right around and caught a bunch of big white bass, which I posted a picture of those white bass on my Facebook page, which, of course, is Jim Strader Outdoors, where I try to give you tips and techniques during the week when we're away from the radio. And really nice grade of fish. And then I fished with my good buddy Stuart Ray and his son Parker for white bass on another morning outing, and we hammered them. It was a fantastic day out there and white bass before, and they were in the jumps, so it was just a really, really fun thing to get out there and do. And as I say, the fishing is about as red hot as the weather has been, and probably will continue to be that way. A lot of folks fish at night this time of year to get away from the hot sun, which is something we'll talk about tonight. We're going to talk about how to fish during the day. I've got my good buddy Wes Thomas from up around Hanover, Indiana. As most of you know who listen to the program, he's a pro bass fisherman, has fished professionally for decades. And we had him on in the spring, and I thought it'd be a great idea on my seasonal approach to the show to talk about the fishing opportunities for bass during this portion of the summer. So Wes is going to be with us, and as usual, he'll be sharing a lot of tips and techniques. I always enjoy having him on the program, and he's a great friend. I fished with him a good bit, and he knows his stuff, I'll just tell you. He's definitely a wealth of information, and I'm delighted that he's able to be back with us. As a matter of fact, he's fresh off a tournament on the Ohio River, and we'll talk about that when we get him on the air after this first break. I did want to talk a little bit again about the nut crop in particular. I'm getting my head around it a little bit. Now we've been talking about the wild fruit crop, which again has been super bountiful in most places. The wild cherry is one that just is unbelievable. A lot of the limbs are actually bowed down or breaking from the weight of the fruit on those. And again, we talked about the profusion of blackberry and hackberry, and these are great food items for the critters during this period of the year. So I'm glad they're able to take advantage of it. Food plots continue to stay in really good shape. They got a little stressed out during that 90-degree weather when we didn't have any rain, but overall they've come through the summer period in excellent shape. If we get any decent rain here going forward, it ought to really boost them and put them in really good shape. We are uncharacteristically dry compared to what we have been. I won't say dry for this time of year, certainly, but, you know, we had these fronts just moving through one after the other, and that's quieted down a little bit. I was actually supposed to be fishing the Savannah River in South Georgia this past week, but they had so much rain, the river came up 6 feet in 2 days, and I was going to maybe attempt to go on the drop, but it dropped 3 feet in 1 day, and those are not good conditions, so I stayed here, and I'm glad I did because of the success that we enjoyed. Back to the nut crop for a minute. Walnuts are really heavy. Hickories are unbelievably heavy. Both the pignut and shagbark hickories are in great shape, and in most cases carrying a motherload of nuts. Some of the trees, the limbs are actually breaking. So those are good news for the squirrel season. The oaks, I'm still having a little trouble telling the overall aspects of it, but I have seen some chinkapin oak, which are in the white oak family, that have had a good nut crop. Excuse me. And I've also seen some white oak that have, and I've seen red oak that look decent. So I'll keep you abreast of that, and we'll fill you in as we obviously go through the season and those acres mature a little bit, we're able to see them better. So excellent rabbit crop out there. I've been out scouting around a good bit, looking at food plots and dove fields, and it looks like we've got an excellent dove population again this year. Hopefully the weather will be good for the opening part of the season. It's one of the things I look forward to like Christmas. I just love dove hunting. And turkey poults are still not where I want to see them. I just got to be very frank about that. I'm still seeing lots of hens ganged up, no poults. And single hens, no poults. Single hens with maybe two or three. So we'll continue to monitor that as well. I still am of the opinion that predators are playing a very significant role in the reduction in numbers. They're not the whole equation, certainly. There's disease, there's a lot of things there, but nest predators, the coons, possums, and skunks, added to the coyotes, which are pure hell on the poults, I can tell you that. Then you add bobcats in the mix, and the explosion of bobcats is startling to me. And I continue to sound the alarm bell about it. Georgia has finally come to the conclusion through some studies they've done here recently that the bobcat is indeed a major predation factor on turkeys. And as most of you who are out in the woods or have trail cameras know, we got a lot of bobcats now. Southern Indiana is absolutely loaded, and I mean double loaded, in terms of their habitat. And I just wish that they would open these bobcat seasons to run concurrent with our gun deer seasons, because they are a varmint when all said and done. We go overboard thinking we got to protect these predators sometimes, and we're at that point, in my opinion. And I'm sure most of you that are out and about quite a bit probably share that opinion. So that's kind of my wildlife roundup. Again, we're going to talk all kinds of fishing. I will tell you, lots of crappie being caught on deep brush piles. Catfish fishing continues to remain very, very good. White bass and hybrid fishing, either trolling or in the jumps, is absolutely on fire. So we're in great shape and moving forward in good fashion. Again, we've got Wes Thomas, professional bass fisherman from Hanover, Indiana, going to be on the program with us tonight, so stay tuned. I'm sure you'll learn a bit from this guy because he lives on the water. The break is presented by SMI Marine. They're located on Westport Road, just north of the Gene Snyder. They carry StarCraft pontoons and deck boats, Falcon bass boats, and are the new low aluminum boat dealer in that regard. Jimbo is fishing the lakes with a brand new low 1860, 18-foot roughneck. That's their welded aluminum boat, which for a guy like me that fishes for virtually just about everything you want to talk about, catfish, bluegill, crappie, carp, you name it, I'm after it, bass, obviously. It's a perfect type of boat for me, and they decked it out to where it's an awesome multi-species rig. Go see them. They'll take great care of you as well. And remember, you never get soaked by my friends at SMI Marine. Welcome back to Jim Strader Outdoors. Again, we're talking summertime bass fishing tonight with Wes Thomas, a pro bass angler from up around Hanover, Indiana. He's a frequent guest on the show, and I thought this would be a great time to have him on to give you tips for enjoying this late summer period and catching your share of bass. If you have any questions for myself or for Wes, the numbers are 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. Wes, welcome aboard. Wes, can you hear me? Wes, can you hear me? All right, folks. I guess we got a connection problem here, but Wes is fresh off a tournament on Ohio River. Talking to him right before the program, he was telling me that his team came in fourth place, and that there wasn't a whole lot of weight caught, but the fish were more than active enough to provide some real good opportunity. So hopefully we'll reconnect with him here shortly, and he'll be able to tell you more about that. While we're waiting on Wes, I would like to pass along a tip that he gave me that really tickled my interest, and it's something that I'm sure a lot of you anglers who like to pursue white bass or hybrids will be interested in. He fishes for several different species of fish in addition to bass. He travels to Florida every year. And in addition to fishing at Okeechobee and around, he also fishes a lot of saltwater. But he was telling me about the what they call wiper, which is the white bass striper hybrid that they have up at Patoka. Wes, are you back with us, buddy?
Yeah, I'm back with you, Jim. Yeah.
All right, partner. Hey, I was just telling folks as a lead-in about the report you gave me about the white bass indoor wiper striper
right
situation at Patoka. Tell folks about that, because it's my understanding you said they're really nice big fish and really, really active.
Well, a couple of my buddies have been doing it, and one of them is Kelly Hook, and he went with this Gordon that actually has been doing it, and he has a pontoon boat rigged up with some downriggers on it, and they use planing boards and putting 4, 5, 6 rods out at a time, and he's using electronics to find the bait pods. And he's trolling in the main lake area of Patoka, within sight of the dam, in that area there that's where it's deep. And Kelly said he met him there one morning at 6:30, and at 7:45 they were back at the ramp, and there were 6 of them on the boat, and they all had their limit. And he said, and I saw pictures of them, and they were nice fish.
I'll be darned.
This Gordon has done it a bunch. I mean, he doesn't live too far from the lake, and he goes out there quite a bit and does. And they're just trolling, I think, mostly crankbaits.
Okay. Well, that's a great tip. Hey, Wes, we've already got a caller. His name's John. Let's go to him, and then we'll talk a little bit about your tournament on the river.
Okay.
Hey, John.
Yeah, Jim, this is John David Hill. Everyone, all my friends call me John David. I've talked to you twice before. Once, I think it was in 87. I had been an over-the-road truck driver 34 years. Eat my heart out when I see all these bass fishermen out there at night fishing or daytime fishing. And you told me to find a good bass club and join it.
Yes, sir.
The best thing anyone ever told me ever. It was great.
Good.
Now, well, I have another thing for you. I have a in-ground swimming pool, and for the last 8 or 9 years, every spring, this drake and hen comes to land, then my pool's still covered. They land in the pool and swim around a while. He guards her real well. They're not ever afraid of us. I sit right here on the patio, 10 feet away from him. And this year, the wife was telling me how protective he was. She was under the sliding board asleep, and he's sitting there with his head laying across her back. And I thought, well, when I was a young man, that was called something else, but they made it here in the backyard. And I didn't see them for a few days, or they started coming back. And here recently, they came back with a young drake just that one day. And then the 3 of them left. Then she came back again and stayed some days as much as 5 or 6 days in the pool playing.
I'll be darned.
Have you had that experience, sir?
Yes, sir, I have. I don't have a pool here at the house, but I've got lots of friends of mine that do. I stay too busy fishing to do any pool maintenance, I can tell you that. But
I was so fascinated with them. I get up early in the morning, make my coffee, come out here and sit and wait for them. And one morning, I was making my coffee. I was pouring me a cup of coffee at the kitchen window. And I think I've got an in-ground pool. And the water is really agitated. And my first thought was, I forgot to turn the filter off last night. And it's a female, the drake, or the canvasback. She's beating the water with her wings back and forth. Got the water really agitated.
Yep.
And then she gets up on the side of the pool, and she's reaching under her wing, and I'm assuming she's waterproofing her wings again. Does that sound right?
Yes, sir. They have an oil that they spread on those feathers to keep them weatherproof. So,
yeah,
I've seen a good bit of that, and I've seen a lot of them raise ducklings around swimming pools, which sometimes doesn't work out too good. John David, it's great to hear from you, buddy. I've got to go to a news break, however. Folks, we are talking tonight with Wes Thomas, professional bass fisherman from up around Hanover, Indiana, coming back from break. We'll talk to him about river fishing to lead things off, and then we're going to talk about all kinds of different aspects of this late summer fishing period. This break is presented by Paul Thomas. He's the broker at Mossy Oak Property, Park Realty, Wildlife Management Properties, Farms, Lakefront Home, Cabins on Rivers and Streams, and he'd be glad to list your property as well. Again, it's Paul Thomas. Check out the listing at MOPHARP Realty.com. And we're back on Jim Strader Outdoors. Again, we're talking summertime bass fishing with Wes Thomas, a pro bass fishing angler from up around Hanover, Indiana. He is a real river rat. I don't think he minds me saying that at all because I are one too.
Yeah.
Wes, I know you're fresh off the river, had a tournament today. Tell us about how you did, what went on. Let's lead off with fishing the Ohio River this time of year.
Okay, Jim, it was an Indiana Bass Fishing Federation qualifying tournament. And there was 66 boats in it. And I got down there Friday to start practicing a little bit, looking around, because I hadn't been there for a little while. And the river was up a little bit Friday. And I'm talking maybe 6 or 8 inches. And that's significant when you're fishing in the river, if you're going to fish in these flooded creeks and stuff. So I started out and I went into Big Creek down there, Clover Creek, and I started fishing isolated wood on the flat. And when I call it the flat, I'm talking about there's not a spot out there that's 2 foot deep. It's more like 12 inches to 18 inches deep. So okay. If the river came up 5 or 6 inches, that's significant, because normally the stuff I was fishing so shallow that you can't even get to a lot of it. The water was up a little bit, raised my trolling motor up, trimmed the big motor up, and I could move around in there. Of course, I'm blowing mud with my trolling motor, leaving a big mud stream, but I'm moving around on these flats, and sometimes those pieces of wood would be 25 yards apart, sometimes more, and getting in position to target those laydowns and treetops, and I was doing it with a little tube and a crawdad and a speed crawl. A little bit with a small spinnerbait, and when I say a small spinnerbait, I'm talking about a little compact quarter-ounce spinnerbait. Caught several fish. I cover my hooks up, so I don't really catch them, but I lead them around. A lot of what I do when I'm practicing, because it's so hard in Indiana to catch fish on a consistent basis, it's like with like that crawdad, the speed crawl, anything like that, I take a hitchhiker spring. I don't even have a hook. Tie it to my line, my weight on there, and then I screw the bait up on that spring. Pitch it around. Anything bites it, I don't catch it, but I can pull it around, pull him up, look at him, whole damn thing. Also, on the spinner baits and stuff, I take a little piece of electrical wire, the coating on the outside, pull out the copper wire, take the little piece of and cover the hook up. Buzz baits the same way. So that I can find where these fish are located, but I don't want to catch them. I just want them to know where they're at.
Right.
And then Saturday, the river was back down again, probably 6-8 inches at least. So that thing on the flats pretty much went away because you couldn't get to it. So I went to some other creeks that had a little bit more depth, but still fishing laydowns and stuff. But I didn't have a very good practice on Saturday. Probably had, on Friday, probably had 10 bites. And on Saturday, probably had 4 bites. So this morning, I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but when we got there to take off, the river's back up again. So I opted to go to the flats, and I caught 8 keepers, lost 4 keepers, and caught about 10 short. Managed to come in 4th in the tournament. So I was pretty well happy with what I done. I wish I could have had a good solid fish to go in there and got me up close to 8 or 9 pounds, I could have won. But the guy that won is a very accomplished fisherman from over and up around Indianapolis. Mike Quinlan won, and he had 7 3/4 pounds, 5 fish that weighed 7 3/4 pounds.
I see.
A guy that a lot of your local people would know him from fishing is Paul Jones from here in Jeff. He was second, and he had 7.4. Another gentleman had 660, and I had 640. And then we were the top four, and a lot of people caught fish, but there was a lot of weights from 4 to 5.5 pounds. And there again, you're catching 12 and 13-inch keepers. Where all the good solid fish went to that we were catching down there. The last time I was down there a month ago, you know, I caught almost a six and a half pounder and had over 15 pounds, but there's no, the big ones now, I don't know where they're at. They're hiding somewhere or gone out fooling around somewhere, but they're not up short, up shallow very well. Big fish
okay.
Are only 3 feet. So, I mean, nobody, there's no big ones being caught right
now. Last couple of questions pop into my head about what your results were. The first one is the fish that you lost, were they on the spinnerbait?
No, believe it or not, they were almost every fish I caught today was on that speed crawl. For some reason, when I started out this morning, I couldn't get them to get on that little tube. I personally didn't like the way the spinnerbait was looking to me. So I picked up that crawdad and started getting bites, and I pretty well fished it all day. I did throw a buzzbait a little bit, and I never could get anything hit the buzzbait, so I just kept with what was working, and that speed crawl with about a 3/16 ounce weight on it was working up in that shallow water. A lot of the fish, you would see them just boil on it and take off with it. The water was so shallow, when they went to bite, you'd see the see them boil after it and take off with it. And I'm talking shallow.
Right.
Crazy.
Right. Well, you know, this is a thing about summer bass fishing that is not just peculiar to the backwaters on the Ohio River. It's peculiar to Lake Barkley. A lot of lakes that I fish, the fish aren't necessarily as deep as you would suspect, even though the water's hot.
Right. And the water was, Friday was 97 degrees.
You got to be kidding.
No, I'm not. It's 97 degrees Friday.
Man, that's.
And I was catching fish in a foot of water.
I'll be daggone. Well, that does surprise me. So it was that speed crawl that the fish were throwing that you lost?
Yeah, I'd set the hook and get them almost to the boat, or they'd get down in a little piece of brush or something, and they'd twist off before I could get them in or something. And normally I don't lose very many, but for some reason today, either they weren't eating it good enough or something, but I did lose too many fish today.
I mean, yeah.
Yesterday on practice, something else, I know we're talking about creeks, but I went out on the main river yesterday and throwed a pawpaw, kind of a hazy overcast day, and I got on the shady side of the river and looking for stumps or rocks that are off in the back, lay down rock, and I throwed a pawpaw quite a bit and had quite a few bites on it, but most of them were small Kentuckys or a smallmouth or something. They weren't they weren't consistent enough on the size.
I see.
But I mean, it was still kind of fun, but they just weren't any good for me.
Wes, were there very many spots are smallmouth weighed in right now?
Some spots. The guys catch some keepers out in the river right now that are spots that'll be keepers. They're fat. I mean, they're little chubbies, but they seem to, you can catch a lot of them. It's 11 and a half inches. But, you know, they've got to be at least 12 before you can weigh them in. And we get an occasional smallmouth there. We catch more smallmouth in the Louisville pool than we do the one below Louisville.
Right.
From Louisville up to Markham Dam is where the smallmouth show up.
Yeah. Yep. Out of curiosity, what was the bait fish situation like? Because, you know, it's been a kind of a puzzling
bad,
situation.
I've I found two, three, four pods of shad that I want, that I was be looking for, you know. But there's bait fish all over the place, but I'm afraid that they're their Asian carp because they're really small and they're, they stand in bunches, and you can throw a spinner bait or something over there. If they happen to be out on a little piece of wood, they're just spraying away. You know, you're spooking them with your bait. But I don't think they're regular shad. I think they're those Asian carp minnows is what I think it is.
I see. So
there's plenty of Asian carp down there.
Oh,
but I did
God.
See a few schools of the kind of shad that you're talking about. You know, the real nice shad, maybe 2 inches long or something, just the right size. And all these Asian carp that I think are the minnows are small. It's something pretty small. They're not big like a shad. You know, they don't have the body of a shad either.
So, okay. One more question about the tournament in particular. Then I want to change gears a little bit. What were the other fellas fishing? What baits were producing for them?
I would say that the guy that won it, I know him pretty good, and I would say he probably used a some type of a soft plastic, maybe even a jig, because he likes to pitch and flip, and then he probably throwed a buzz bait. So he's a buzz bait. And I know the guy that come in second, normally he would be throwing a buzz bait, but he throwed a spinner bait all day, what he caught his on.
I see. Okay.
It's just standard things. That, I mean, that's just pretty common. You know, it's not so, it's not like somebody's got some big secret weapon going out there and catching them. It's all pretty basic stuff. Somebody may have a certain way they rig something or a different trailer on their spinner bait or something like that. But it's just the guy that I told you come in second, I mean, that's all. He basically is a spinner baiter and a buzz bait, you know.
Yeah.
And he just has faith in it. He just goes and throws it all day.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Confidence means a lot.
He's done well many times. You're right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. All right, Wes, let me go to a quick break here. Folks, if you have questions for Wes or myself, the numbers, as usual, are 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. This break is presented by SMI Marine. Tim Addington and his staff are ready, willing, and able to do any type of troubleshooting for problems you might be having with your boat, regular surface work that you might need. They do a great job with that. And remember, you'll never get soaked by my friends at SMI Marine. And we're back on Jim Strader Outdoors. Again, we're talking with Wes Thomas tonight about summertime bass fishing. And the numbers, if you have questions for us, 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. Wes, I want to continue on the river for just a second or two to kind of round things out, because the fishing on the river gets better as we approach September.
Yes.
And I have a question for you, and I think this is the kind of little tips that could help people a lot. I don't know if you do this or not, but when I'm fishing real shallow like you're talking about, I turn all my electronics off. I don't want to spook the fish. They're not of much benefit when I'm that shallow, and I feel like that pulse, as you get close to some of those targets, can actually be a negative aspect. Do you do that?
Jim, I have two Hummingbird 10-inch screens on my boat, and I would say in the last 3 days they were probably off 90% of the time. I turned them on when I get out in the river itself just to see what the, you know, like the water temp and some things like that, and to make sure what next creek I was going to go to or something. But when I got back there and started fishing on those flats and all that shallow water, I turned them off. I mean, I don't need something to tell me that it's 16 inches deep, you know.
Exactly.
And that type of stuff. And I don't need to know the other pertinent information that it's trying to tell me. And plus, in this hotter weather when the water's that warm and stuff, running my live wells continuously, it puts a draw on your batteries and stuff. And if you turn those electronics off, you'll save you just a little bit of battery. And it might, that may be just enough to get it to start that last time to get you back to the weigh-in or something. I know that's maybe kind of crossing hairs a little bit, but I've seen the time when that thing didn't crank, somebody get awful nervous thinking they had just a few minutes to get back. And so I don't even run them unless I really have to.
Well, I feel like at close quarters, it alerts fish.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's in my head, but I can tell you, I've seen evidence that they hear.
I have my trolling motor set on the lightest speed that it'll do and still move my boat.
That was the next point I was going to make.
Yeah.
If you surge that motor, it'll spook shallow fish.
Oh, yeah. 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 And it can be banging on trash that's on the bottom or something and making a lot of convulsion that it don't really need to make. And I just use it sparingly to get me from one lay down to the next or something. And I just, I see guys out there fishing and they hit the trolling motor and my gosh, it just, they don't turn them down enough. They got them way too high and trying to go too quick, and in that shallow water don't work.
Well, that's a tip I think was worth sharing, so I appreciate your thoughts on it as well.
You know, Jim, I mentioned that about putting that spring on instead of a hook. I think this is really, really important because I can't tell you how many times I've been to a tournament on practice day, and they'd be around eating supper that night or bull crapping in the parking lot. And this guy said, yeah, I caught 5 good ones today. And he said, I just hope I can catch them again tomorrow. I said, why did you catch them? He said, oh, yeah. And invariably, that guy will come in to the weigh-in the next day with either nothing or maybe 1 or 2. And we've got to doing that continually now. We put those springs on. And we fished a tournament about 3 weeks ago up on a lake by Indianapolis. And we were practicing the first day. And I pitched my rage bug up underneath this pontoon boat. And I got a really good hit. I had a spring on there, but I just held up on the rod. And this fish was definitely a heavy, good fish because he was pulling me back down. I could feel his head drop. I finally get the bait away from him. We go back the tournament day, get to that same dock. I pitch my deal right in the same spot, but I got a hook on it this day, and I catch one almost 5 pounds, and I guarantee you that was the fish that I had to bite on the day before.
Oh, yeah. Well, let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah.
All right, Wes, we got to go to news break here. Appreciate those tips. We're going to talk about all kind of other aspects of summertime fishing coming back from break. Again, the numbers, if you got questions, 571-8484, 1-800-444-8484. This break is presented by Paul Thomas at Mossy Oak Properties, Hart Realty. Check them out at MOPHARTRealty.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.